السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يزال قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس: عن عمره فيما أفنى، وعن شبابه فيما أبلى، وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه، وفيما أنفقه، وماذا عمل فيما عمل، وماذا عمل فيما علم. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer, provider, whom we are totally dependent on. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only the grace and the mercy of Allah that He has given us an opportunity of reaching this stage of the year. You know, it's the time of the year, which is the 7th of December. We're 1 week already into December. And also all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is also the 29th of Rabiul Awal, coming to the end of another Islamic month as well. But specifically with regards to the context of December, which we are currently in, where on the one hand we find the students, university students, school students, our boys and girls, madrasa students, are on holiday. So on the one hand, it's like sort of a time where everybody takes it easy as far as the studying goes. Exams and examinations are over. The reports have been given out. Some perhaps in the next week will be given. And we come to the end of another academic year. And on the other hand, we have our business people, mashallah, who look forward to this time of the year where it's time to now pick up business, to try and get more customers in, to generate more income. This is a peak season. It's a very busy time of the year for some of the businesses. So in between all of that, we have to try and see now how we're going to manage it. We have our kids and our children on the one hand who are free, and the business people, mashallah, who are busy. I'm not sure about the professional people. Perhaps some are still working, some are on holiday. But nevertheless, there's different types of dynamics in this month of December. That's why maybe sometimes it's called a silly season. It's the silly season. And as Muslims, perhaps we need to think and reflect now what we're going to do in this time of the year. And as far as businesses go, it's the time of the year where we need to capitalize. If it's the time of the year where we do our most revenue, most amount of turnover, businesses do well in this time, then inshallah we should try and make all efforts to get more income. Use the opportunities you have. It's that time of the year where perhaps people get bonuses. Some people are fortunate, they get these bonuses, and you as a businessman now want that particular business. So you need to try and do all your, and exercise all the different opportunities you have, whether it's marketing, have special type of promotions, maybe whatever different in your business work that you work in. It's nothing wrong, in fact, something we should try and make it a point of doing and generate more income for us in this particular month. But at what intention behind it is very important as well. Make lots of dua. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives you barakah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes businesses prosper for you in this particular month. And make, as I said, the correct intention behind that money that you want to make in this particular month. The intention shouldn't be just for name, just for fame, just to get more money and to become rich and to show off and maybe to buy a new car and to brag with yourself, with your neighbors and family that now you have a bigger house, you've got a bigger car, or whatever. Have a good intention. The money that we have, if it's halal income, and alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala give you barakah in that money, a good intention, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will give you that wealth. You'll use some of that on your family, you'll use some of it on your, you know, to invest it back into the business, and you'll also give a portion of that in charity as well. That's the type of intention we can have. There's three-way intention. Some of the money, you'll use it for whatever you want to do with you, yourself and your family. Spend it on that way. Second portion of it, you'll try, inshallah, to perhaps put it back into the business. You don't want to spend everything. See, now you put it in a corner, you're in a jam, you don't have anything to carry with you forward. So put it back as an investment. And thirdly, make some intention that inshallah you will use it for some good avenue, some charitable cause, some worthy, noteworthy cause that exists, you'll do that. So that is a wealth that we have. It's something we should not strive and make it our purpose and goal just to become rich. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given glad tidings, in fact, to a businessman. He says, "At-tajiru as-saduq al-amin," that the trustworthy and that true businessman, the one who have the two qualities mentioned in this particular hadith, is being as-saduq and al-amin. That businessman who is true, sidq, has a quality of sidq, and an-amin, trustworthy. Then what will be the benefit of this? In fact, these two qualities, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even known with regards to these two qualities even before he gained prophethood. When he was still amongst the kuffar, they knew him as al-amin and as-sadiq. He was true and he was trustworthy. So whatever business we're going to be doing in this month, let it be that we have these two qualities governing every decision you're going to be making. That you're going to be true and not cheat anybody, and you're going to be very trustworthy in what you're doing. Then the benefit of this would be, if you do business in this way, Nabi Sallam never say that an abid, a dhakir, yes, there's benefits for that as well. But this particular hadith singled out the businessman, a tajir, that businessman who's doing business. What a businessman doing is buying and selling. So the businessman who is doing buying and selling with these two qualities, what will be his position? Ma'an nabiyyin, wa siddiqin, wa shuhada, wa saliheen. You will be with the Anbiya alayhi mustarat wa salam. Your position is with the pious people, the righteous people, but you're doing business. So it shows that doing business not means now you can't go side and side with your religion. Islam is not something that we only restricted to the masjid. It's a way of life. It's a whole way of life. So even in this December period, when we're doing our business, we should keep in mind these qualities of business that we should bring in accordance to the teachings of the Quran, in accordance to the Sunnah. We'll find, inshallah, Allah will bless us in this world. And even in the Akhirah, look at what Allah is promising. Nabi Sallam is promising us. You're going to be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. So we make lots of dua, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala gives all of us lots of barakah in our businesses in this particular month, that inshallah we have a good season, sort of, as far as business goes. So that was on the one hand. But my focus today is a little bit more on the people who are free for this time of the year. And referring specifically a lot to our students and maybe perhaps professional people and others who are taking off, even if you have businesses and you're taking off. And it's important to remind ourselves, what is the value of time that we have? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a particular surah. He named it by time. He took an oath on time. And then maybe go through the translation, which will take me a couple of seconds, so you can remember this and remind ourselves. Allah takes an oath on time. He says, "Wal asr," by time. "Innal insana lafi khusr," man is at loss. Or everybody is a loser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts everybody in one big basket. All mankind, innal insana, is at loss. Everybody, man, male, female, rich, poor, black, white, all are at loss. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of draws an exception. Unless you have these four qualities, then you won't be in the category of those who are losers. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they couple that iman together with doing good actions, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they encourage one another with righteousness, with truth, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they encourage and motivate one another, counsel one another, advise one another with regards to acts of with regards to patience, haq and sabr, patience, truth and patience. So the surah, wal asr, Allah takes the oath on time. Whatever Allah takes an oath on is to signify the importance of that. So time is very important. Man is at loss, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu, except those who have iman, wa amilu salihat, the good actions, wa tawassaw bil haq, wa tawassaw bil sabr, encourage one another, motivate one another, counsel one another on truth, haq, and sabr, patience. So that is the surah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing to us how important is the time that we have. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also reminds us, he says, ni'matan, ni'matan. We have many, many bounties we enjoy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Many, we cannot even count it. Allah says, wa in ta'uddu ni'mat Allahi la tuhsuha. You even try to list the bounties of Allah, the ni'mats and the favors of Allah, you will not be able to list it. It's too many. Wa in ta'uddu, if you try, la tuhsuha, you will not be able to enumerate it, list it and count it. In this particular hadith, he singled out two specific bounties of Allah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ni'matan, that there are two bounties. Two of these ni'mats that we enjoy from amongst the many. But the problem is, he says, maghbunun, maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. He says, many people, lots of people, they are in a deception with regards to it. Deception with regards to something means you did not realize what is behind it. If you deceived, it means you thought something, whereas in actual fact it's something else. That's a deception. So here Nabi Sallam is saying that there's two ni'mats where the people are a deception. They think, they assume, they consider it as a certain thing, whereas in reality they are not really appreciating the value of it. And these two bounties, Nabi Sallam says, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. Number one, he says, good health. The bounty of good health that a person enjoys. And al-faragh, the bounty of free time that a person has, many people are deceived with regards to it. They are not appreciated. They are not utilizing it correctly. So this is why Nabi Sallam warns us with regards to these things. He reminds us that be very careful about the health that you have, how you use it. Whilst you have it, appreciate it. Use it in a way that you have been productive with regards to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As-sihha, health. Ask the person who is sick. Maybe he has an eye problem, maybe he has an ear problem, leg problem, whatever sickness a person has. Ask them the value of that time when they were healthy, opportunities they had. They took for granted, they assumed that the health they have is going to be with them forever. We perhaps walking, you are looking, you are listening, you are able to hold, you can walk. And then all of a sudden something happens, perhaps you get a stroke, Allah forbid, perhaps you meet an accident, something happens. And then only you realize, all this while I was looking, I could see, now something happened to my eyes, we cannot see. Then you appreciate and you value. But the problem is it's too late. It's too late at that time to then think about the bounty of good health that you had. Did you utilize it? Did you appreciate it? That's the important question. The good health, did we appreciate acknowledging it and appreciating it? And the question then follows from there, is appreciating the bounty of good health, what is that? What do we do? How do we appreciate the bounty of good health? And the same question we're going to ask with regards to the next part, which is faragh, which is free time. The time that an individual has, it's never going to come back. Every moment that you have, it's 12:31 now. It was 12:30, the 7th of December, 2018, finish. It's not going to come back. Have we utilized our life and the time that we have? Have we appreciated it and used it in a way that we can be proud of the moments? Or do we have moments of regret? No, if only, had I only done this. Okay, so whatever is past, cannot do anything about it. It's gone. There's no way you can ever bring back moments that have passed. But yes, what we could do, perhaps as a lesson of today, is make firm resolutions that this particular December at least, if I have some opportunity, I have health, alhamdulillah, I have this time, alhamdulillah, how am I going to utilize it in a way that I'm not going to be regretting when it comes to January now? And then you think, okay, what did I do in December when I was free for 2 weeks or 10 days or 15 days or whatever it was, or 3 weeks? What did I do? And you reflect and you ponder and you list, okay, this is what I did. And you say, yeah, it's really a wasted my time. So now from the beginning, think now, let me set some type of goals. Let me do something in this time that I have, in this particular month of December, so when I reflect in January, I'll be proud that inshallah, I used my time in a very profitable way. I've benefited, not benefited only with regards to material things of this world, but also benefited with regards to akhirah. And keep in mind, when we're setting our goals, what we are going to be doing, what we are planning for the December, people are planning holidays and vacations and whatever. And alhamdulillah, Allah bless some people with wealth. And they take that wealth and they squander it in the name of appeasing their families, and they're wasting the wealth that Allah has given to them. Then we should remind ourselves of this particular hadith, wherein Nabi says, before we make a decision of what we're going to do, think about this hadith, where Nabi says that, لَا تَزَالُ وَقَدَمَا إِبْنِ آدَمَ. On the day of Qiyamah, we will not be able to take one step. Nabi says, you can't move forward, you're stuck. You'll be stuck there, until and unless you answer these questions. حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ أَنْ Khamsin. The different narrations, this particular narration says that there are five questions that Allah was asked you about. An umrihi fima afna, that life I gave you, how did you utilize that life? So this December, think about the question on the day of Qiyamah. How did we use that life that you had? You were able to breathe in and out. The blood was circulating through your body. Allah blessed you with so much of life. How did you use that life? وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَهُ. And the youth, unfortunately, I'm saying it in those terms because many of us cannot do anything about it. We are already past. But especially to those who are still in that category, and shababihi, and the youth, young life that you have when you're still young, how are you going to use it? And perhaps those who have passed that age, we need to perhaps contextualize it and think, now this is my son, this is my nephew, this is my cousin. They are still in the shabab. I'm past the shabab now. I'm no more a young boy anymore. But there's a young boy and a cousin or a nephew I have, or a son I have. How can I prepare him or make him use this December so that he'll be able to answer this question with regards to his youth very proudly? When somebody asks him, oh my youngster, how did you spend your youngster? I prepared him as a father, as an uncle, as a grandfather, in such a way that he'll be proud with regards to how he answers that question. Unfortunately, we're living in an age where we are so sucked up and soaked in with the technology. And alhamdulillah, technology has great amount of benefit. But what is the sad reality of the situation around us is we have become so soaked up, sucked up into it, that we have lost sometimes even small social interactions in a family which was supposed to be taking place. That is also lost. Like for example, there's a game that was launched last year. Only 1 year old, perhaps just maximum 1.5, 2 years old, that game has reached where it has over 100 million users. That game is, you're allowed to have concurrently over 5 million people. I don't know, every day perhaps number is increasing with the technology being so fast. But the technology is such that 5 million over people around the world are live on that game at one time. And many ask the youngsters, they're all playing this game. And they go onto this game and they're playing for hours. You can't play the game for 2 minutes. You're playing for hours. And they buy these virtual clothes. You know, one is you can go to the shop and you can buy clothes. So you see, all right, you paid money and you got clothes. But this game has become so attractive to these youngsters that they buy virtual clothes. They call it skins. So what you do is you put your credit card detail and you spend 500 rand. So instead of wearing white color clothes, you start wearing yellow color clothes. But only you have to pay. And our youngsters have become so soaked in their spending hundreds and thousands of rands in this virtual thing. And imagine if there's 100 million users around the world and each one is spending 1 minute, how much of time is getting used up? And each one is spending only 1 rand, how much is being used up? So technology has its benefits. But in our homes, many of us now are getting sucked up with this dilemma. You have Wi-Fi, an unlimited Wi-Fi. It got its benefits. Your child needs to do his projects, and you need to see some good videos. But if you are not able to manage it correctly, then it's a very dangerous tool, and we are to blame for it. It's like an example I gave. It's like if you have a gun. If you don't know how to use the gun, you're not going to use it yourself. And if you don't know how to use the gun, you're not going to give it to your son or your daughter, whether they're 15 or 16 years old, and say, yeah, there's a gun now. Until and unless you are not trained yourself, and until and unless your children have not been trained, you're going to take that gun and keep it one side. You need proper license. You need to know how to use it. Otherwise, you're going to shoot and kill yourself, or somebody's going to get hurt. In a similar manner now, until and unless we haven't been trained with regards to how we're going to correctly use this Wi-Fi that we have facility, that we have created at home, I am not trained, my wife has not been trained carefully, my children are not careful with regards to how they're using it, then unfortunately they are shooting themselves. They're going to be shooting themselves, and they're causing great amount of harm, a great amount right under your nose, where you think, I just gave my son or my daughter a phone. Then they, even if you go through their messages, they are much more cleverer than you, how they will hide the apps and what they will be doing with such things. It's actually a tool and can lead to great amount of harm. So yes, it has its benefits. It has its place and its usage. You should be trying to use whatever the good is in it. But if you're not careful with regards to usage, you're going to find hours and hours will be taken away, and rands and many much of money is going to be lost with regards to this. So coming back to that shabab, the question is about the shabab. How are they going to be spending this time, these holidays? Nabi Sallam also speaks about, he says, you'll be asked about the wealth. مَالِهِ مِنَ اِنَكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقَهُ. That you will not be able to take a step until you answer about your life, your youth, your wealth, how you earned it and how you spent it. You couldn't say, okay, it's my money, I work very hard, so I'm going for a vacation. And what type of vacation you're going to go? Well, it's my money, I decide what I want to do, and end up using the money in a way that you have violated every command of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So how are you going to answer to Allah on the day of Qiyamah? He gave you 1 million rand or 100,000 rand, and you took it and you blasted it in such a way that maybe you went gambling, or maybe you went to a place where every command of Allah is broken, where there's drugs, where there's drinking, and there's other vices that are taking place. So the wealth that you have, if Allah has bestowed wealth, don't take it as an opportunity to squander and waste. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. If you waste the bounty of Allah, then you become the brother of shaitan. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not like those that waste. So alhamdulillah, if Allah blessed you, use that wealth, go for a nice holiday or whatever you are doing, but not to places and avenues where the commands of Allah have been broken. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something to this effect, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever resembles a nation is amongst them. One narration says, مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ. That you're increasing the number of a people, then you count yourself to be amongst them. You cannot say, well, I just went there, I wasn't gambling, or I went there, I wasn't drinking, or I went there, I wasn't, I never put the music on, I wasn't dancing, or just standing. Be very selective, be very careful about which place you choose and how you're going to be spending, whether it is a holiday or public holiday, whether it is a normal day. We are still, as I mentioned earlier, governed by the demands and dictates of our deen. Our deen does not stop us from having fun. Enjoy yourself, enjoy the bounties of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, but not where you transgress. There are certain limitations, and that is for our protection. It's for protecting our iman. It's for protecting, you know, it's for protecting our dunya. It's for protecting our akhirah. When we have fun in the name of fun, in the name of vacation, and having a good time with our family, we transgress those limits, then rather than bringing peace and happiness to our life, it brings more misery to our life. So you think, I went for a nice vacation, I took my family, and you went to a place where you broke all the commands of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and the object of the holiday was to bring peace, contentment, to have a nice rest. Actually, you bring more misery into your life. When you return, perhaps even whilst you are there, the barakah will come out from your home. There will be no unity and love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his unique ways of operating. So whatever system or place or avenue we are choosing to enjoy our holidays, let us remember, you're still a Muslim. You still will not compromise on our salah. We still not compromise on the way that we dress. We still not compromise on how we, what we eat. You know, the avenues, how we spend the bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is also a shocking thing. How much of money we are squandering and wasting on our families to go out and eat, if you're spending maybe a little now and again, but where we make it a sort of a, you know, has to happen every week, every second day, and how much is being spent, is it a justification when there are millions and perhaps thousands of people who don't even have a slice of bread to eat, that we are squandering the wealth that Allah has given us in going out, and how we're eating, just looking for a halal place? But the same, anybody wants your money. So we have to be very careful, especially in this time, how we're going to spend our money. So like that, these are broad guidelines I'm just giving, how we can have and enjoy ourselves, but don't compromise any of our basic principles with regards to our deen. And the last question he says, وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ. That what amount of practice did you have with regards to the ilm? Allah gave us knowledge. Everybody sitting, alhamdulillah, we know. Let's give you a simple example. We know for a fact, it's not a dispute or a debate, you can say, you know, a difference of opinion. We know for a fact that our salah is compulsory, it's fard. We know there's 27 times minimum more reward for performing salah with jamaat. So that's the knowledge that we have. The knowledge, all of us sitting have that knowledge. Then anybody else can dispute and say, no, I don't have to read my salah, I'm excused for my salah. So we have the, nobody, so we have the knowledge. But when it comes to the amal on the knowledge, that is the problem. So having the knowledge is actually maybe just information if it's not put into practice. The whole objective of it was to put into practice. So everything that we know, especially with regards to our deen, we should be trying all out, making an effort to put into practice. And like that, you're doing a business. You know we're not supposed to be doing certain things. Or you're supposed to be... So make it a point of putting into practice the various teachings. So this particular December, I just conclude with these words. This particular December, our businesses, inshallah, we'll do and try, go all out of our way, do lots of marketing, do whatever you need to do to get lots of business, have a good intention, inshallah. And those of us who have free time, please do not squander and waste the time. The Urdu poet says beautifully, he says, Hora hai Umar, mithle barafkam. Chupke, chupke, rafte, rafte, dum badum. He says, our life is becoming every day like an ice block. How you have an ice block? In the sun, it's melting and melting and melting away. So every day of our life and every second of our life that is passing, is that capital that we have is decreasing. It's going less and less. And it's going to come sooner or later, we have nothing left. We'll have to go from this world, whether you like it or not. So how are we going to use that health that Allah has given us? And how are we going to use that time that Allah has given us? How are we going to be using that wealth that Allah has given us in this particular month of December especially, is a very important thing. And keep in mind the question that we will be asked on the day of Qiyamah with regards to this. So let's make it clear, Islam and our deen is not against having fun, against relaxation, against having a nice time with our families, having some nice social events, but We have parameters within which we work, and inshallah we work within those parameters, there'll be great amount of barakah, there'll be great amount of blessing. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make us, you know, have the true peace and true contentment and enjoyment. With these few words, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the ability of putting into practice, give all of us the ability of putting practice, and inshallah may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we see many, many, many more years, inshallah, with afiyat, with salamat, and give us the tawfiq of appreciating every bounty that He has given us. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.